Well, I'd like to talk about prayer tonight, the idea of keeping a balance in our prayer. And we've had a couple of lessons on lesson one. But lesson two, we want to understand prayer. And so tonight, the first part, asking what is prayer? And I think you'll like this this answer. Of course, it's talking to God. Genesis 3, 9 and 10, the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. So why did I choose this for prayer? Well, this is the first specific example of man speaking to God. I'm guessing that in the actual actions of it all, he spoke to God many times. But we remember that Adam commented when God presented him with Eve, but it was in response to an event, and it was not a conversation. Here is actually the first time that we have recorded that he's in a conversation with God. Now, so this is the beginning of prayer. This is the beginning of prayer, at least certainly close to the beginning. Those who accept the evolutionary theory of history think that prayer evolved. But we see here, in truth, religious and cultic prayer imitates real prayer, which is to the living and true God. When you have to make up a God, and then you make up a way of talking to that made-up God, that's a different thing. Let me give you an example. In India, as Hindus interacted with Christians, they saw our prayer was better. They complained to their priests that they could not pray devotionally with heart love as the Christians. Why would that be? Well, if you know a little bit about Hinduism, they taught that Brahman, their God, was not a being. He's just the sum total of all things. He's the all. They had no personal connection to the Brahman. It's like standing on the hillside at night looking at the stars and trying to hug it. You know, you don't have a personal connection. So, of course, at that point, since Hinduism simply collects religious thought and practice, they developed a new kind of religious practice called the bhakti. B-H-A-K-T-I, bhakti movement. And it imitated the Christian personal prayer. It allowed them to come up with the idea of loving this God and speaking to him personally. They had to invent it after they saw what Christianity did. So we need to understand prayer really from God's point of view. Man did not evolve prayer or even invent the concept. God initiated conversation with man. See? God did this. And so God created man with the ability to converse with him. This is why man didn't invent language. He was born with, created with the ability to speak. The whole complex thing of language began when he awoke. Pagan prayer is a blind attempt to imitate the real thing. If you read about this, you realize they always begin with the pagan way of doing it and see it as elementary and as fragmented, and then they act like it evolved, it developed into something like what we have. This is just backwards. It's a blind attempt to imitate the real thing. Buddhists use prayer wheels to fling written prayers into the atmosphere to relieve suffering and release kindness. Written prayers put into this little thing and they spin it. Ah, there you go. Lots of prayers going there. Do you see how blind this is? Islam The word Muslim and Islam are two versions of the same word and means submission. Islam is all about submission. It's not about you choosing, it's just you obeying. It emphasizes submission to God. Technically, they do not pray. They recite memorized prayers. That's the way I grew up. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Now, praying about dying every night when I go to bed, it didn't bother me because I wasn't thinking about it. It was just the words that you said. It was the crank it out. You just say it, you know. Well, that's what they do. And it's in the Arabic language because that's the holy language. So some of them don't even speak Arabic. They just learn to imitate a whole series of syllables. This kind of empty prayer leads individuals to seek a deep connection with their deity in their hearts. If you didn't know that God was listening, if God cared, if you only prayed because you're supposed to do that, how cold that is. They desire to imitate Christian prayer. So again, simply, prayer is talking to God. It's not going through the motions of praying of talking to God. It's not pretending like you're talking to God. It's not giving a series of words that are okay to say that you're talking to God. It's you actually talking. You thinking of what you're going to say, and you're talking to God. The more mystical form of prayer corresponds more closely to Christian meditation, while pagan meditation emphasizes emptying the mind. This is just opposite of what, you know, an actual conversation is like. If I come to talk to you and I just empty my mind, you want to say something? thanks for that. Biblical meditation emphasizes seeking the deeper meanings in a passage of Scripture. Meditation hides God's word in the heart and then chews on it. Most of the biblical animals, the goats and the sheep and the cattle, they all chew the cud, have a part of their stomach that holds back what's been swallowed quickly and brings it up while they're at rest. So meditation hides God's word in the heart, like that stomach holds on to part of that grass, and then brings it up to chew on it. In meditation, we take each main word and ask ourselves why it is important, contrasted to a different word. Let me give you an example, because it's kind of hard to think of an example. I was meditating on Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, it's a verse that we memorized fairly early. It's a short verse, easy to memorize. But when you think about it, you're saying all have sinned and come short of, and you might have expected come short of the law. Sin is violation of the law. Or come short of heaven because of sin, you see. But why did God say come short of the glory of God? Well, you think about the glory of God, seeing him for who he is, we might realize that becoming godlike is the actual goal of salvation. This whole thing of the adoption, of bringing us into his family, of conforming to the image of his son, he's trying to bring us into that state of being godlike. We were talking before about the idea that we will share Christ's glory and we will have glory of our own. And so it is being unsaved, being a sinner, where we don't have the glory of God. This opens up a great deal, you know. instead of just saying, and you don't make it to heaven. This is the grand opportunity that you have to be greater than yourself. You lose that in sin. Romans 8:29b, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, to gain the glory of God. So God urged scriptural meditation on all who sincerely seek to follow him. He wanted us to. Listen to Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, meaning you talk about it, and you'll read it out loud. But thou shalt meditate therein, in the book of the law, which is Genesis through Deuteronomy, day and night. Now, you have to do other stuff. So what he's meaning is sometime during the day, sometime at the night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. You think about it so that you can do it all. For then thou shalt make thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Were you looking for prosperity, any chance? And then thou shalt have good success. Were you looking for success? Or wisely, you'll do wisely. Psalm 1:2, but his delight, the person that God loves, is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, more than once during the day. Now, the Hebrew word meditate probably comes from a root meaning to murmur or mumble. If you get the idea that somebody is meditating, he's going, for the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life. He's talking to himself, but he's trying to say it in such a way that he can think it through. And so it's kind of a mumbling and so on. But the Hebrew word came to mean to speak to oneself. I am talking to myself about the Word of God. I am giving the Word of God to myself over and over again. Why did he say this? Why didn't he say that? Jesus urged the Jews to meditate on Scripture more deeply than they had done. As they were talking to him, he said, John 5:39, search the Scriptures. Let's not read them, not tap them as you go through the doorway. This is search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, but you haven't gone deeply enough. They are they which testify of me. If you were to meditate on the first five books of the Bible, you would find Jesus there. Now, those who meditate often combine it with actual prayer. It isn't just a thought process. Notice in these verses, Psalm 5:1, give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Here it is, a prayer talking to God about meditation. Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength, my redeemer. Strength is literally my rock. Psalm 49:3, my mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. So in this talking to God, they bring up what they have, what has dawned on them during this time of meditation. Now, God uses the Hebrew word for to meditate, even of the unbeliever. Does the unbeliever meditate? Yes, just not on Scripture. It indicates a false kind of meditative prayer. This whole idea of meditation by the pagans is a false kind of spirituality. Psalm 2:1, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine? This is the word for meditate, a vain thing. They're thinking it through, and here is down with God. That's the vain thing. Psalm 38:12, they also that seek after my life lay snares for me, and they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things, and imagine, meditate, deceits all the day long. This is what they're meditating on. Proverbs 24:1 and 2, be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them, for their heart studieth, this is the word for meditates, they meditate on destruction. Their lips talk of mischief. Isaiah 8:19-20. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have a familiar spirit. You need to try a little witchcraft. You need to try that Ouija board. You need to try these things that give you a little insight into the spirit realm. Unto wizards, which is literally a knowing one, the wise guy, that peep and mutter. There's the word meditate. They're up there going, doing their muttering. Should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead, to the law and to the testimony? If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. There's a book called, what is it called? Something of the Dawn. Anyway, the idea of the dawn, these occultists very often speak of finally getting the light. And it is a false light. It's just a darkness. Isaiah 59:2-3. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. God hasn't turned his back on you. You turned your back on him, is what he's saying. And our sins testify against us, for our transgressions are with us. And as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering meditation from the heart, words of falsehood. Don't spend your time meditating on falsehood. Isaiah 59:12-13. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, our sins testify against us, for our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression, revolt, conceiving and uttering, meditating from the heart, words of falsehood. No, the first one was muttering perverseness. Okay. So the world meditates on a lot of things that doesn't give you any help. But to actually meditate on the Word of God, that can be a great area of prayer. So prayer is our conversation with God, and it is our encounter with God. You say encounter, you're sounding mystical now. Maybe so. Perhaps you remember in your life having a conversation with someone that left you somehow changed in your outlook on life. At a key time in your life, did you talk to somebody that just, I don't know, put you on the right track or opened up a new way of thinking to you? Well, that conversation was an important encounter. Conversation as an encounter. The Bible pictures meeting God as a life-changing encounter. God met Abram in some way in Ur of the Chaldees. At that time, Abram was a false believer in a city that had lost knowledge of the true and living God. But that meeting changed him and his life course forever. Moses, minding his sheep and goats in the desert, met God in a burning bush. God spoke to him and he to God, and it changed his life forever. Prayer, when you practice it in spirit and truth, will change us day by day. Listen to Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you, beg you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice to be done with as God chooses, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to, be not patterned after this world, but be transformed. This is the word metamorpho, metamorphosis, metamorphosed, by the renewing of your mind. Your mind having a life-changing encounter, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You prove it when you put it to the test. Listen to 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are changed, metamorpho, into the same image. Whose image is that? From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of Christ. So we are changed in that image as we meditate. Let me close with a quote from J.I. Packer, who wrote a number of really good booklets. Knowing God is a matter of personal dealing. Knowing God is more than knowing about Him. It is a matter of dealing with Him as He opens up to you and being dealt with by Him. Friends open their hearts to each other by what they say and do. We must not lose sight of the fact that knowing God is an emotional relationship as well as an intellectual and volitional one of choice, and could not indeed be a deep relationship between persons if it were not so. If we spend our time praying without recognizing that we're talking to God Almighty, if we are not encountering Him in this conversation, we've lost something in this. It's Catherine Coy keeps reminding me of this. She was talking over and over again about the time when she couldn't do anything else. I don't know if you've read her prayer request, but she's doing some amazing stuff now. When she had to lay in bed and couldn't eat and so on, it was really tough, she said, but this has been such a precious time to just embrace my God, to know that He's with me. This is that encounter with Him that connected with her emotionally. And so let us not leave this undone. Let us learn that when we are going to be going to prayer, that we're not saying our prayers. Muslims say their prayers. They don't understand perhaps even a word they're saying. Let us pray. Let's talk to God. Let us encounter Him in this. Comments, questions, personal experiences?